I'm going to go ahead and call the City of Palmer City Council meeting to order for July 10th, 2018. Madam Clerk, would you read the roll, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Pete LaFrance.
Here.
Councilmember David Fuller.
Here.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs.
Here.
Councilmember Linda Combs.
Here.
Councilmember Steve Carrington.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best.
Here.
Mayor Edna DeVries.
Here.
Mayor, we have a quorum. All members are present.
Thank you. If you will all rise, and Councilwoman Sabrina, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda, including the consent agenda, which includes Action Memorandum 18-068, authorizing the city manager to purchase insurance coverage for the period July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019, per the premium quote submitted by the city's insurance broker, Insurance Brokers of Alaska. Also approving Action Memorandum 18-069, confirming the mayor's nomination of Heather Kelly with a term ending October 31st, 2020 to the Parks, Recreation, and Cultural Resources Advisory Board. And Action Memorandum Number 18-070, confirming the mayor's nomination of Andrew Corbin and Rhonda Wolbach with terms ending October 31st, 2018 to the planning and, no, that can't be right, 2000. Is that when their terms end?
Yep, they are filling.
They're both just that we're going to end this year. Okay,
yes.
Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. To the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the approval of the minutes of the previous meeting of May 22nd, 2018.
Mayor?
Yes.
If I may, I do want to let you know that there was an error in the minutes, so they will be corrected. We accidentally said the Matsu Miners, like underage Miners,
okay.
And not Matsu Miners ERS. So
okay.
Yeah, then we will correct that before they are finalized, but that is a correction that does need to be made in this minutes.
Okay. Alrighty. What is the wishes of the council regarding the approval of the agenda?
Madam Mayor. Move to approve.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the agenda. Discussion, amendments, questions by the council?
Definition updates. This was originally introduced in 2012, but no.
Madam Mayor,
mm-hmm.
Can we ask Mr. Fuller to put his phone on mute?
Oh, yep. Sorry.
It's quite all right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
So as I was saying, the municipal sign ordinance will be introduced at our July meeting, and this is something that was first introduced in 2012, but no action was ever taken, so we're going to bring it back around and see if anything happens this time. We're also going to review and make a recommendation for a conditional use permit for a car wash and a gas station to be located at the intersection of Arctic Avenue and the Glen Highway, which is the site of the old Tesoro gas station that was most recently Chickadee's Antiques, I believe, formerly five lots owned by Fisher Fuel, that were combined into one lot. I believe that was last year, May of 2017. And it's been for sale ever since, so it'd be nice to see something besides an empty building and a lot of blank land.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll also be reviewing in August the conditional use permit for the modification of conditions for AK Demo out at the fairgrounds, their pit there. They have a five-year review of the conditional use coming up as well. It's located on the fairgrounds and is an industrial zone with special limitations. I know it's been kind of a point of contention off and on over the years. Hopefully they'll continue to fulfill their obligations and get that hole filled up so it becomes useful and safer.
Mm-hmm.
We have also completed a a resolution recommending the approval of a zoning map amendment from airport industrial to airport mixed for a portion of the Buddy Woods Palmer Municipal Airport. This is to accommodate pilots flying into the area and wanting to camp on site near their airplane if possible, and frequently not having a vehicle to go anywhere else anyway. Runways are short in downtown Palmer. So that we've completed. And we've reviewed and held public hearings on a resolution approving a conditional use permit to convert the use of the Eagle Hotel into a residential care facility, which is located in the Commercial General District. This was kind of a contentious issue, as you probably are aware of, but we postponed this petition requesting further information, but in the interim, the request was withdrawn by the petitioner. So it's up in the air. Well, there's nothing going on there now, so it's over for now. And we have reviewed and approved an abbreviated plat to adjust the common lot line for the Palmer Church of God and make a larger lot. I believe this was just a small adjustment to improve their parking, if I remember right. And we've also reviewed a pre-application plat to divide tax parcel C8, also known as Whispering Winds. This is the senior housing over on Cope Industrial Way. The plat will split the property into two parcels, and this is part of the R4 development approved with special limitations. The first parcel is currently under construction for the 42-unit senior housing project. And then we also reviewed the preliminary plat for Maple Springs, a parcel located on the Palmer-Wasilla Highway just outside the town near Hemmer Road, the former Wessel property, which Howdy Investments, I believe, is preparing for assisted living, I believe. So anyway, that's what we're up to and what we've been doing. Any questions?
Any questions or comments from the council? Yes.
Go ahead, sure. Thank you very much for coming for us. We appreciate the update, certainly. Do you mind speaking to about the commercial sign ordinance and what you have in mind for that as it comes our way?
It hasn't really been introduced yet, so I'm really not up to speed right now on that. But maybe the next quarter.
Madam Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Through the mayor, what that is we have an ordinance that doesn't have an intent paragraph. It just starts out listing all the things you can't do, which makes a lot of those unenforceable. And there's been other communities that have been taking a task for not having an intent paragraph. So that was our piece, is to come up with an intent paragraph for our sign ordinance. So it's not necessarily going to adjust what signs look like. There may be some modifications on adding pictures to what a marquee is, what a canopy is, what the difference between those. So cleaning up some of that. But really, we don't. Every other chapter has an intent paragraph, but this one doesn't. So that's what this. The intent is to clean that up.
Okay. Further questions or comments? Go ahead, sir.
Madam Mayor.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Could you kind of give us a thumbnail or kind of the first blush of what the R1 impact might be coming before us that you've discussed as it pertains to the short-term rentals?
We're still debating the mostly the B&Bs and their various ways they're being referred to, and where they are more appropriate than others. We're starting to look at performance-based possibilities for the R1 areas. Potentially, there have been quite a number of arguments on both sides of that issue. We're again looking at possibilities. I'm not entirely certain where we're going to end up just yet. That's probably been the major focus of any changes or modifications to the R1, well, the residential in general, trying to address concerns of the neighbors in areas in the R1 particularly that are looking for protections for their quality of life versus people's ability to provide nice housing or places for people to stay, even for short periods of time. So where we're going to end up, I really couldn't say for sure just yet.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I may just add this as something to make sure that it is brought up in the discussion. Residential standards, when these places are developed, meaning that road widths, on-site parking, and or sidewalks, that these are set up for and designed for residential uses. And when we start blending that commercial use, I think that needs to be very cautiously looked at to determine whether or not we're going to allow that kind of activity in those residential neighborhoods of R1. Because many of these neighborhoods have very narrow roadways, no sidewalks, no on-street parking. And so we really need to make sure that that's the public safety is a big concern on that. Thank you.
And I agree. And these items have been mentioned, and we are trying to bring them into the, or keep them under consideration before we make any recommendations.
Are there questions or comments? Well, please relay to all of the members our thanks for their work, and we know Title 17 can be a challenge. That just like at our last joint meeting, I don't know how long we spent talking about definition, right? So please pass along our thanks to them.
I will indeed. Thank you very much. And you're welcome. It is a bit of a slog, but we'll get there.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda on the communications and appearance requests, we have a presentation from Matanuska Electric. Come forth, please.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members, and thanks again for making time for me on this agenda. My name is Julie Esty. I'm the Director of External Affairs for Matanuska Electric Association. Just want to start out by recognizing Councilmember Combs and her recent promotion at MEA. She's going to be using her extensive experience in both member services, engineering, and mapping to help our members and improve their experience in new construction. She'll also be working with some of our key accounts in the future on helping them understand their energy use and making their experience better too. So we're excited about that. The reason I'm here today is to talk about some projects going on in the Palmer area, make sure that you all are aware of them, answer any questions, and I'm also happy to take questions beyond what I'm presenting on. So there's a map for your reference that was just passed out, a lovely colored map. I'll point out the obvious first. The large color blocks are there to represent new meter installations. We are coming to the end of a multi-year meter replacement. Our old meters were at the end of their useful life, and they have always sent a signal to us about each of our members' energy use. These new meters allow two-way communication, which improves outage management and can improve the services to the members. So there's a few misperceptions about these meters. The first, the one we hear the most about, is that they are emitting electromagnetic energy, and that there are studies about systems in the lower 48 that sends the signal by Wi-Fi or cell. Ours actually goes through what's called a PLC or a power line carrier, so it just gets sent right back through the power line. So there's no emitting of any additional frequency that our members need to be worried about. The primary use of these is to improve our meter reading capabilities, make those more efficient, more accurate. There will be less estimation with these meters. It also primarily gives our members a significant amount of information about your own energy usage. So once you have one of these meters, you can sign on to our Smart Hub account, which you can also use to pay your bill, to report an outage. But you go into the energy usage area, and you can see details about how much energy you've used and use it to make your own energy decisions. For instance, I used mine to look at how much less power I used when I unplugged my chicken heater. And from now on, I'm buying eggs from the neighbor down the street instead of keeping them alive with the heater, because it's an amazing amount of energy used. And so things like that, you can see trends in your own energy use, and that will just empower our members to use energy in ways that make sense to them. In addition, it'll help with outage management. As I said, there's two-way communication. So when we hear of an outage being reported to us, we can then ping meters in a common area. They'll send back a signal whether they're on or off, and then we can better understand the scope and size of an outage and be better prepared to meet those. So again, this is the very tail end of that installation. By the end of September, we will have all of our entire service territory on these new meters, and so all of our members will have the benefits of those. So that's the meter installations. As you can see, there's also a couple of other just small projects highlighted here. The one in Cedar Hills, we're replacing some underground lines. We've recently conducted an analysis of all of our underground cable, which tends to go bad. It usually has about half of a life of an overhead cable, and really looking at the ones that are having the most significant issues with outages and shorts, and we're replacing those in a systematic way. So the area in Cedar Hills has been highlighted as one of those priorities, so that work will hopefully be happening and is planned to happen. And then you see also the Glen Highway project. As you know, there is an effort to expand the Glen Highway. The first year, this year, the goal was to have the utilities moved, because we're right in the way of the road, where the road's supposed to be currently. So we have designed that project. The bid has actually been awarded, and currently we're on hold awaiting some final right-of-way issues with DOT. So as soon as they give the go-ahead, depending on timing with winter approaching and things like that, we will be prepared to move ahead if the time is right. So that's the update on that project. The other project is that has a farther time horizon, but may be of interest to the council, is the Lucas Substation, which I just found out is named after Planning Commission Chair's Dan Lucas's family, from whom the initial land came from, which I always love to hear the history of our substation naming, so it was an honor to meet him. So that substation is in a nice small footprint, and as everybody knows, right behind the Welcome to Palmer sign, which I know has been one of those, oh man, issues for a long time. So I think the council will be happy to know that footprint has become too small for our needs, one, to accommodate the growth in Palmer, but also there's the transmission line that runs basically from all the way from the Eklutna Hydro plant to the hospital is one long system. And currently, if there's a short or a fault anywhere on that system, there's no way to isolate it. So expanding the footprint of the Lucas substation allows us to what we call sectionalize or isolate the fault to one side or the other, which basically reduces outage time and reduces the number of people impacted by a transmission outage. Mm-hmm. So all of that requires a larger footprint, larger usually in the 3 to 5 acre range, usually around the 3 acre range. And so we're conducting currently a search for land for a new location. And so there's lots of considerations when you do that. What a substation does, just basics, is it takes transmission high voltage power and it steps it down to a level that can be, then be distributed to our homes and businesses. And so the keys for a new location. One, you draw basically a circle about a mile and a half around the current one, and that's from a voltage standpoint and from a feeder standpoint, the ideal range. The other thing you want it to do is be along an existing transmission line, because if it's not, you have to drag the existing transmission line to the substation, new substation location, which has significant community impact. The other thing is from that substation,
feeders go out in different directions. And so you want to be as close as you can be to those feeders. Otherwise, though, you have to find connections back to those feeders, which, again, can have additional community impact. We may need to add more lines. So we're looking in a, you know, a 1.5 mile concentric circle around the existing substation, property along transmission lines close to the feeders, and also we're definitely considering community impact because that's one of those things that people aren't excited to get in their backyard. So all of those things are considerations, and we'll be keeping the council appraised as we move forward. The horizon is more long-term. It's about a 5 to 7 year horizon before actual construction completion. These things take a lot of time with land acquisition, design, permitting, and then also just long lead time item purchase and things like that. Plus, it needs to take its proper place in the rest of the priorities for the system. But I just wanted to let you guys know about that. And what happens to the one question is what happens to the existing land of the current substation? And that's yet to be determined. So if there are any questions about anything I covered, please let me know, or anything I didn't cover. I'm happy to try to answer.
Any questions or comments from the council?
Well, you guys are letting me off easy.
I'm sure we'll come up with some uses for your land.
We look forward to hearing those.
Okay, good.
Thanks again for your time.
And I'm always shy about passing them along.
We're always interested in hearing about that. I'm always available. If you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to ask. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next items on our agenda are reports, and we'll start with the city manager's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A couple of things on your desk. The city hall, picture of the city hall, recommended sign, and then a bike map. And I'll discuss those as we go through the report tonight, but that should be on your table in front of you. And there's some copies on the wall as well. So the project report, which is the one that the first page of many, page 19 to 43 in your packet, the wastewater treatment plant. We're coming up to a significant milestone, which is substantial completion, which then starts our performance period with EPA and DEC. The MMBR is online now. We're processing water through it. Still not enough bugs to bring us down to zero, but we are flowing water through that $12 million system. At the back of this report, there's two pages that talk about the project itself. One of them is, which is page 27, is the $12 million pyramid. And basically that's the test plan that started from the first piece of equipment that was brought in to the final tip top of the pyramid, which is the fully automated mode, which is what the DEC and EPR really are looking to examine when we get to the full performance demonstration test. And then that will hopefully lead us to not having to put in phase two. But we won't know for a year during that performance period on how that performs. But the Kroger engineers, which are the ones that design the actual basin, are still very confident that they'll be able to bring it down to 0.001, maybe a few more zeros of ammonia, which is what our biggest concern was with the EPA. EPA is confident this will work, but they're not confident that we'll be able to settle the solids, which is why they want the secondary clarifiers to put that in the consent decree. But because we're keeping the pits or the lagoons, that's where our settling occurs. Once it goes through the MMBR, it'll still go to Lagoon 2, where solids will settle, and then Lagoon 3, and then finally out to the UV building in the river. We are eliminating one lagoon in the system, but if it does show that the solids aren't settling, we still have the option to go to Lagoon 1, and then 2 and 3, which would take us back to where we are now, and we have no problem with solid settling. So I'm confident, very confident, that we can convince the EPA, especially with Mr. Chris Hadlick, who was part of the Alaska State Administration, who is now the EPA director down in FEMA Region 10. He was the Alaska city manager that fought the EPA for a very similar item. So his view on this type of activity is very positive in our favor. So I think when it comes time to ask for relief, if we can show that we are meeting our criteria, that it shouldn't be a very big issue to get done. But our punch list walkthrough starts on the 19th. So that's when we'll go through the contractor and look at the buildings and all the stuff they've built. And then we'll notify EPA by the 31st of the month that we are starting our performance test and we've completed substantial completion of our project. So on track, looks like we're on target for budget with the change orders we've had. Our initial calculations show us to be about $84,000 over budget. However, there's some credits in our construction contract that will come back that should offset that and take us right back to where we are. We were hoping to be able to buy additional equipment, but with the things that we've done and the way the contract came in, it looks like we're going to be on budget and we should be fine for the rest of the project. Moving on, unless there's questions about the wastewater treatment plant, I'll move on to item two, which is the airport. So the airport was closed 10/28, which was the old 9/27. We closed it down so that we could apply the surface that we wanted to apply last year, but we couldn't because we didn't have the one piece of special equipment. That piece of equipment was brought up, and basically it's a pickup truck with some engineering equipment. You take it up to 60 miles an hour and then slam on the brakes, and it measures how fast it can stop. So we tested the old runway, we tested the new sealant, and then we painted, and that was all completed July 3rd. What was interesting about that was that the FAA in Alaska has never required, is a new requirement, and this is the first airport that had to go through this testing. So their engineers were on site to watch that testing so they have a base on how to conduct it in the future. So we continue to have a good relationship with the FAA. I expect that we'll have our grant awarded in this next round for the maintenance of our taxiways, which we discussed during budget season is about $500,000 project. That grant we're expecting to come through in July. And on a related note, the FAA just published in the Federal Register that they received another $1 billion, that's with a B, in airport improvement funds for the next 3 years. So we have projects on the list for 19, 20, and 21. And that are eligible for this money, but we'll have to have the discussion on whether we want to move forward with something that big, because one of the projects is moving the taxiway, which is a multi-million-dollar project. It's a 90-10, which is a good match, but 10% of a multi-million-dollar project is something we need to discuss on. Is it a priority for us to invest at this point in the economy? So we'll have that discussion during the budget session during capital on whether we want to pursue it right away or hold off for another year, but the money for grant money is out there. It's a pretty good match, 90-10. Actually, it's a little less than that, but it's a huge chunk of change out of the general fund to support that project. Unless there's questions on that one, I'll move on to number three, which is the Bogard Booster Station. This will be the last report for this one. What this project was, the history behind it, was we had money left over from the water main extension. We had about $300,000 2 years ago. We've asked for extensions a couple of times to be able to spend it down to almost zero, and we're pretty close. The ground is prepped. It's ready for the next phase, which is to build a booster station building. We still have to do pressure testing on what's there to be able to valve it off so that the line doesn't become contaminated out to the school. But we were able to take that money, use all the state funds for this project. The money was attempted to be swept at one point in time. We were able to keep that and spend it. So this will be the last time we talk about this one because we're done with anything we can do with the funds we have available. That the rest of that project is on our capital list to the legislature and to the federal government. We have provided that list to Senator Murkowski's office, who's kind of taking the lead for infrastructure projects for the state delegation. So her office is aware of what we're looking for. Item number four is a public safety building. We still have state grant money available. This is where the subfloor is sinking in the booking area. This is at least part of the building to the troopers. There's also some upgrades we haven't done over the last few years that we need to do. The engineer's estimate came in at about $124,000. It's going out to bid this Thursday. So if it's like some of our other bids, we expect it to come in a little under. So depending on how that works out, we should be able to cover it with our remaining grant. If not, we have money in our building maintenance funds that should cover the rest of that if it does go over the grant funding. But that will come to council for final decision once we see what the bids are. And we can either approve it or add more money or use what we have to complete that project. Item number five, ADA sidewalks. Still waiting on the state. This is being funded by what's called ATAP funds, A-T-A-P. It's a federal funding program. It's a pass-through through the state. Very complicated and convoluted process. The last we heard was the regional DOT had to approve our sidewalk project, and they finally gave that approval. So they've gone back to the federal government to finally get this money. We expect it to finally be released in August. Because that's the end of construction season, we'll look at to see how we send that out to bid, if we might be able to get some of the work done before the cold weather sets, because we really don't want to do concrete work in the winter, and then complete the project next year, or if we hold off because of mobilization costs. We don't want to pay that twice. We're thinking maybe a local contractor might bring that down, the mobilization costs. So we'll see how that works out. But the one good thing from the state is that they bumped it from 100 to 300,000, and that's 100% funding. I take it back. There's $64,000 funding, a city match. We've asked to be extended through 2019, and that looks like it's going to happen. But the actual work will probably, at this point, not happen until next year. What I'm thinking may happen is, because this project process is so convoluted, we will ask for more money, because we intended to do this project again next year through the same program. If we can just get the amount raised and not go through the whole process, they've seen our diagrams for the other phases. We just add our other phases on, and for other organizations that got left on the wayside, we're hoping to get more money. So this could end up to be a $500,000 project if the winds blow the right direction. So we'll see how that turns out. The next one was a paving project on Auklet. The council set aside $500,000 in our capital budget to pursue paving Auklet to the end, from the bike tunnel to the valley, so we would have a connector to Valley Way. Really, it would stop at the railroad crossing the road piece, but the path would connect over it. So our engineer's estimate came in. I think I mentioned this, may have mentioned this a couple of meetings ago. And really, we're still trying to sort out funding and what's available. The federal infrastructure program that I just mentioned earlier about Murkowski having our list, it hasn't come through yet, but indications are that program isn't as enticing as others. It's a 60-40 or 80-20 match. However, getting 20% of a project grant money is a good thing, but there's been no terms or actually funding set aside for that. If we can get it on the state's master plan, then it's the other way around. It's a 90-10, 90% federal funding, 10% local. But that takes time to get it on the. You have to get it on the state's STIP plan to be eligible for Federal Highway Administration funding, and then it competes with a lot of the other state projects. However, there's a set aside for local projects that's very rarely used that we're going to try and get this project on. So there's a couple of things we can do. We can move ahead now with the LID and approach the property owners and see if they're interested in having their road paved and participating in that. However, at this point, it would be there'd be no offset funding. It'd be just the city funding and the property owner fundings to do this. The next piece is we can hold off on that piece until we have better clarity on additional grant monies to offset some of the costs for both the city and the property owners. The third thing is we can just do it. We've set aside funding where the city could pay for all this, but that's not the precedence we've generally set in the past. I think the property owners have always contributed to some degree. And then the final option is we can move forward with just the pathway to connect the Auklet path to the path that's on the other side of Valley Trails and not pave the road. If there's concerns from the property owners, it might be too expensive, because there's only 40 properties along this stretch of road, so that their share would be spread amongst 40. If you want to provide direction tonight, you can. We're not going to do this project this year. We don't have time in the construction season. But again, during capital discussion, I think this would be a good discussion to have on where we move forward with this. There are two other projects that have kind of raised in their priorities. The first one is the Eklutna Loop, the drainage there. We've had two water line breaks already this year. It's one of the old steel lines. It wasn't completed as part of that project when we replaced all those water lines. We just do the drainage and the steel line replacement. That's about a $300,000 project. And then Rempel, the drainage there, is is another one. We've talked to the folks about an LID for the streets. They really don't want to pursue paving the streets, but the drainage is an issue, and typically the city pays for that type of work. So those are two other projects that we can talk about during the budget session in addition to this one. All three are very valid projects that need to be done at some point in time. But again, as funding becomes available, we can discuss priorities during the budget season.
Madam Mayor.
Yeah.
To the manager, ballpark thumbnail, what Rempel's cost might be for just doing drainage?
That looks to be about $300,000 as well. It's about the same length and similar issues. It doesn't have a water line that has to be replaced. However, the storm system slopes the elevation is the wrong direction. The storm system is on Chugach, and that road and that property flows towards the airport. So either putting a storm system behind the properties between the schools that would drain into the airport system, or change the elevation back to Chugach, and the cheaper version changes the elevation back to Chugach.
Madam Mayor, follow up.
Is
this a section of Rempel that was, I believe that there was a settlement on? I might be getting my streets crossed. I apologize.
I don't believe so. I thought the settlement was closer to the MTA Event Center. And then finally, the airport trail connector. We had some controlled burn done out there to clear out some of the brush. Our city crews, grounds crews, are they got a laundry list of things that I've asked them to do. This is on their list to get the path cleared and staked. That's in conjunction or in coordination with our roads crew. Our roads crew right now is putting down dust control. We're short one as well due to an injury. But we will have this staked at least by fall, so we know what potentially the length and the contour of that path will be, as well as identifying where that high-pressure gas line is to make sure that we coordinate with NSTAR as we move forward on that project. That's the end of the project report. I do have a couple of other things I'd like to highlight.
Did you talk about that one?
No, I don't really want to.
You don't want to? Okay. All right. Sorry to bother them.
So we have a mini version. We have a webcam that's on our lockbox out back. It's got pretty good. It's got really good definition. You can read license plates of cars that pull in the wrong direction. You can pretty much identify somebody if they're looking at the camera. However, it's not web capable at this point. Could be, but it wouldn't tie into a network. So what we really need is a network recording device. So we've got an engineer that provided our first estimate. He's got a sharper pencil and defining what the actual equipment is that we need to buy, that we can buy it ourselves, and then have either this engineer or send it out for bid to have somebody else install it. But the two different engineers I've talked to, and as well as our IT folks, indicated that it's a lot cheaper for us to buy the equipment based on the specs they give us, because there's no markup and it's relatively easy to get, and then we'll move forward from there. So it's probably going to be closer to August before we get something in place. Our first place will be to install in the police department, the monitoring piece, and then from there, once that's done, we'll come to back to the council on priority for airport, amusement park, or another place, which might be the skate park. So it's still at work, but it's going to be a little bit more piecemeal than I expected. And the system we have now was donated. It's not costing us anything other than electricity to monitor that piece. It's actually something I had in my garage from another position that happened to work out very well, brand new out of the box. Unless there's any questions on the project report, the next item would be the Palmer sign, the recommended sign. So this does deviate from the sign plan or the wayfinding plan to some degree, but this is modeled after the sign at the airport, and I was really trying to keep our signs to look similar and also capture some of the nature of our surrounding community and the terrain around us. So this reflects more what the mountains look like. This may cost us a little more, so we'll do a cost estimate compared to what we did for the airport one, because those are straight lines and these are more contoured. But the intent is to have the blue part prefabricated with the logo, with the Palmer, Alaska, welcome to, and then the city would put in the actual location, Palmer City Hall, with the address. Two versions. One's an 8-foot version. The 8-foot version would be for City Hall, for the visitor center, and the library. 4-foot version, which would be smaller in nature for our parks, which would include and our some of our other buildings like the police department, fire department, community development, public works, but primarily our parks. We discussed having a 2-foot version, but it gets to be too small, and we really, the 2-foot version would be more for a wayfinding with an arrow of some sort. So that's, I don't think we want to use this type for a sign for the arrows. We did set aside $10,000 in the budget for signs this year in our parks. So that's how this would be funded. Unless there's concerns about this sign, I'd like to start get those fabricated and hopefully have at least one or two up by the State Fair Parade.
Ahead, Madam Mayor, mm-hmm. Was this provided to Councilman Fuller, this image?
No, but it was not.
Councilman Fuller, are you available to receive from the clerk?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Okay, great. She's sending you the item we're talking about.
Well, we're working that. My intent for the visitor center, the old sign was where the antique truck is now. They've moved the temporary sign closer to Valley Way, facing towards the parking lot. My intent was to put the sign in that grassy area, but it'd be a two-sided sign, so you can see it coming and going from Valley Way rather than taking a picture direct on to the visitor center. The intent with that, what that is that you can see it from a distance as you're coming and approaching it. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to a big photograph, but it wouldn't block the actual visitor center, and it wouldn't block that the cabbage or the architecture or that truck that's out there. It's the comments I've had about the truck have been very positive, and so I didn't want to block it. The Palmer Museum of History and Art could then hang their banner on the truck for the museum portion, and we would still identify it as the visitor center and historical museum, which has been identified in the past. So that was my intent for the visitor center. It'd be an 8-foot sign, two-sided, in that grassy area, perpendicular to the road as opposed to parallel.
Okay. Further comments, sir? Go ahead.
Madam Mayor, you had mentioned that this falls kind of out of line with the wayfinding signage. How does this differ?
Not by much. This is one of their designs. But what it says is more in line with the sign we already have, and their recommendation was a similar mountain pattern, but not quite this size or this color. So that's really where the differences come in.
Go ahead. Sorry, sir. I can see. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I like it. I think the skyline, you know, outline of the mountains is a nice touch. A little bit of artistry there, and I've always been amazed how we could have a non-blue sign at the beginning of Palmer coming into town. So I like this.
This wouldn't replace the gateway sign. That could be done on a larger scale. The gateway sign is actually going to be moved when the Glen Highway project comes in. It'll still be in that general location, but we won't have a Y. We'll have an intersection, but they're going to not replace it, but they're going to move that sign so that it's on a retaining wall as opposed to a freestanding sign. But it's similar in design to the old museum sign or visitor center sign that was wooden. Mark Hotchkiss, who actually painted that sign, has taken that sign to look to see if it's repairable, and it's in worse shape than the sign that he replaced it with. So it's not something that we've even discussed putting it on the wall of the visitor center, but it's not in any kind of shape. The museum or the city could commission to have that done again. Mark doesn't think he's capable at this point in taking that project on with the work that he does for the city as a side project, but that's kind of the background of what do we do with the last sign. The sign before it was retired. This one's retired. They're both very beautiful signs, but they're not really recoverable at this point. So that gateway sign is going to be in the same position probably another 5 to 10 years. So if these signs are very popular, this might be something we could look at putting at the very front of the city on a larger scale. So that was kind of the intent, was keep the blue, so is Palmer, something we might be able to use in the future in a bigger scale that's not too hard or complicated to replicate.
Yes, Councilman Linda Combs.
I really like it partly, well, mostly because of the sense of continuity. Even if people don't stop and think about it, I think subconsciously they're going to realize that it does follow the lines of the sign that just recently was replaced at the museum, and it makes a lot more sense than anything else I've seen over the last few years as we've talked about new signs. So having it around for a few years so that we can eventually replace the one coming into the city, which I'm with Councilman Carrington on that one. It's always surprised me that we have a brown sign out there, but that's okay. So good job, good work. I agree with you about the 2-foot signs. I don't think we want to go there, but let's get this going and done, because it'll just be one more thing that helps mark our very wonderful event filled city.
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would be remiss if I didn't poke a little critiquing in there. So you look at the sign and you see the city seal. So it says City of Palmer on it, and it says Palmer, Alaska, and this is Palmer City Hall. I don't think there's going to be any mistake as to where you're taking this photo. I do think redundancy is a bit much on this, and if there was a way that we could, you know, you could have Palmer, Alaska on the Evergreen segment.
So you're making that a motion?
Well, no. I might be making an emotion. But I did, you know, it's just the artistic side of me coming out and just kind of critiquing a bit. But when you think about the city logo is on there, and that kind of gives you your stamp right there, and then it could just say City Hall. You know, the welcome to is a pleasant, warm embrace. I get that. Just having the address clearly defined so it doesn't have Palmer, Alaska on it, it gives them more space for longer addresses. I get that too. I think it might just be just an edge too much, but okay. I think I can live with it either way.
Okay. I agree with this. The Palmer City Hall, just saying City Hall. I guess my question is, were you also recommending take off the Palmer that in Alaska that's brackets the seal, or just the City Hall, the Palmer City? I agree. We say Palmer 3 times on here. It's City Hall and it's Palmer, Alaska. So folks should know.
Madam Mayor, if you took the Palmer, Alaska that's bracketing the seal, then the seal could be slightly larger, and you're going to be able to see City of Palmer on that really well. That truly is what gives a stamp, I think, to any of our uses of that seal, and would bring out the Palmer. So then if you, having it 3 times is too much. Just having it once is all we really need to stamp. Anything with, don't you think? Anybody else?
Other comments? Councilman Carrington?
Jump in here. Mm-hmm. I guess if it were me, I would try moving the Palmer, Alaska down to the address line and just fill up the address line in the bottom. 231 West Evergreen Ave, Palmer, Alaska.
And remove it from the top part?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Further input? Discussion? Go ahead.
I guess I would concur with the manager that we might be able to remove Palmer from the City Hall aspect of it. And just in that line, you would just say City Hall. I don't have a problem with the Palmer, Alaska, and the welcome to still being bracketing the city seal. And I get at least from my impression of the address being very clean and not having anything else around it, so.
Got enough instruction there, sir?
Like mud.
No, I think the other piece is we haven't got an estimate on the lettering, so that may save us some, when we start doing a lot of these, some of those suggestions will save us some money. But I think I have enough direction.
Councilwoman Fuller, did you receive the information from the clerk, and do you have input?
Yes, ma'am, and I concur with the input that's given. I think it's awesome and a long time coming.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any other comments from the council?
I'm not done yet. I'm done with the sign.
Oh, okay. All right. Go ahead, sir.
We're done with the sign. So it was mentioned earlier by the Planning and Zoning Commission lead that the airport, they did the airport campground. The airport campground is under construction. If the newsletter went out today, so if you take a look at that, you'll see what the initial stages of that thing looks like. It's coming along. It's a internal project. We still got to get some compaction done out there, but the clearing is done. It's looking like a campground now. We got a note from a citizen about the skate park fence. That fence has been down for about 4 years. We try to clean it up on occasion as they vandals take down different, knock down more sections. The fence was really put in place to keep skateboards contained so they aren't flying all over the area. It wasn't really to keep hoodlums, so to speak, within the skate park or to keep them out of the skate park. It was really designed to keep the skateboards in one place. So we're getting an estimate to replace it again. And that's why I mentioned earlier this might be a place to put a camera to try and keep that fence in place. It'd be one of the more expensive places to put a camera because there's no light poles or anything. But we are looking at the fence. The decision was made, again, about 4 years ago not to continue to put money into that fence. But at this point, it's becoming an eyesore more than anything else. So we'll look to clean that up. We also received a note about trees in the right-of-way along Mountain Rose and where the Whispering Winds are going in. We acknowledge that those trees are in the right-of-way, and we also acknowledge that some of those need to come down. So as our crews become available or as a contractor, we'll look to see about taking some of those cottonwoods down so they don't become a hazard. And finally, we will have a table at the garden fair this year. Some of the things that we plan to have are hand, besides answering questions, the council is invited to help man that booth so long as there aren't more than three there or to stop by. But we'll have handouts for the trails that are normally in the front of our building. We'll also have the facts of the city available, the new bike map, which I set on the table. There's also copies there. Those came in this week, so we'll have those available. We'll also have our baseball tickets for Celebrate Palmer with the Miners, and we'll also have some of these decals available. And then the final thing we'll have available is our recycle bags that you all should have seen the prototype. We'll have those available. At the table. The Parks Board will have three members there to answer questions or solicit comments from the public that stops by about future parks, and also to talk about our current parks. The Arboretum is one of those unsung places, and the garden fair folks asked that we have somebody there that could either point folks in the right direction or maybe even walk folks that are interested over to the Arboretum, so that we'll have somebody there that can do that. We'll probably only man it from 10 to 3, not from 10 to 6. My experience last time was that folks really lost interest in non-buying booths by about noon, but we'll stay there as long as folks are there. And then finally, Palmer Pride and Celebrate Palmer with the Miners are on the same day. I have tickets for council. If you'd like to take a stack to give out, also for anybody in the audience that would like tickets, it's on the 27th at 6 p.m. And I will not steal any thunder on Palmer Pride because I know someone else is going to talk about that later. So that finally completes my report tonight.
Madam Mayor?
Yes, the Mayor, Miss.
So you kind of blazed through that pretty quickly with the skateboard park. You were indicating that there is no power on that section of the skateboard park?
There's no power at the park. There's a transformer or a station for the streetlights that are along Arctic. But the one that's on Valley is quite a ways, so we would have to do some sort of power work and internet. And the other pieces of the internet have okay. Power for the internet and the camera.
So that's a public safety issue, and it's too bad that there's not somebody here from like a power utility company or something like that that might be overseeing something like this and maybe could partner with the city in a public safety kind of situation. So.
Yeah, that's true. The other piece is that the crossing crosswalk, which is on the agenda for later today, there may be some opportunity to tag into that as well.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? The city manager or to the audience? Councilman?
Just to clarify, we would need internet as well, which is
correct.
Not something MEA provides. Just wanted to clarify.
All righty. The next item on our agenda is City Clerk's report. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Had a Clerk's Coalition meeting this morning, and I'm just going to highlight a few things within my written report. As you guys know, there's the attendance spreadsheets that we do the first meeting of the month. The only one listed in here is BED because they're the only one that held a meeting for the month of June. And so everything will get going and back on track for the month of July for all boards and commissions at this time. They are all scheduled to meet, so that's exciting. But back to the Clerks Coalition meeting this morning, one of the things we talked about is the still dire need for election officials. I'm really serious. We are like in a dire need. I am still short two election officials within our two precincts, the Mat-Su Borough and the Senior Center. And then borough-wide, we are still about 30 people short. So Jessica Kilborn, she is our main point of contact at the borough who coordinates election officials. Her and I will be presenting tomorrow. Thank you very much, Councilmember Combs, for coordinating that and helping at the Senior Center luncheon, their membership meeting to make a presentation, do handouts. I have set up a meeting with the Rotary Service Club on Thursday. We'll be going to the chamber, and we're just going to try to hit as many service clubs as possible. Also, trying to work with whoever can get me into any of those. And like Linda will be helping me, Councilmember Combs will be helping me with Lions, anywhere. We really are in definite need because that's to fill the spots, but then we still need backups because it's always inevitable that some people just aren't able to make it. So we have that we were trying to collaborate and discuss and brainstorm what ideas do we have. So if you know anyone that would love to provide a service to the community, and this is a service to the community, it's a service to our election electorates, to them, obviously we are administering that, but really you're serving your community and helping them with the election process, please refer them to Jessica Kilborn. She is the deputy borough clerk at 861-8683. They can call myself. I can help them at 761-1321 or go to the borough's website, the matsugov.us/elections page, and the application is right there at the top. So if I can push one more time, we need election officials. Really need that. And this, we only have a few more weeks because as you guys will be as the assembly will also be appointing and finalizing these election officials at our first meeting in August by action memorandum, I believe. We do it by resolution. So we only have a couple more weeks to find two more for our precincts. A big important thing also we talked about was candidate filing period opens on Monday. Yay! It's so exciting with lots of fun stuff to get ready for that. So the packets will be ready and online for sure on Friday. We are working on getting things done to get them online tomorrow, but it may be Friday. And so people can start collecting signatures this weekend, and they are able to then file on Monday at 8 o'clock. The deadline is Friday, July 27th at 4 o'clock. So it's a two-week period. We do have 3 seats open this year. 2 with terms expiring 2021, and then one seat with a term expiring in 2020. So when someone comes in to want to apply to be a council member, they will need to decide which seat that they want to fill. You don't get your name out there, to just fill any of those. You have to determine one or the other. So pretty exciting stuff this year. And that is what I have for a quick sum up.
Okay. One of the things, then, when you were talking, we did have some people that did apply for the boards and commissions this time that didn't get appointed. What about maybe sending them an email and telling them about this other opportunity to work the elections?
since, you know, they are interested in the city and that kind of thing.
I love that idea. I will do that.
Yeah, and maybe even our present board and commissions members, because all of them are so civic-minded and willing to donate their time and really care about the city. So we'd maybe even reach out to them specifically.
Squeeze a little more out of
them.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
If I may, Madam Mayor, I do want to add that this is a paid position.
Right.
So we do pay for the day service. It's a required couple-hour training the end of September, and then Election Day, big deal. Election Day is October 2nd, and it is an all-day affair, right. Being there at 6:30 in the morning, going until it's all done, cleaned up, 9 at night. So we do pay, I want to say it was $200. I'm not completely positive. I'd have to look at that number again. Mm-hmm. So it's not full, you know, complete volunteer.
Right.
There
right.
is some help. And then obviously we will pair people up with experienced election officials with new ones. So lots and lots of, we don't just like throw you out there and say, do it. So, mm-hmm. yes, right. I will definitely contact those that you mentioned.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is my report. You have some of the written report. I did go and meet with Joe Hawkins regarding his letter that he sent, and he did bring up a couple of other things. One was regarding water that's used on a lawn rather than that is flows into the sewer. And so city manager is going to do some research on that. A few more things to add. I'm still looking for nominations for lawns and beautification awards, and also person of the year, business of the year. We decided, you know, we were going to do the Golden Shovel Award. So I need some nominees for that, please. The few other things that I picked up that's on my calendar, Matsu Basin Salmon Habitat Partnership meeting on July 25th. Of course, all of you know, as the manager had noted, the Midsummer Festival this weekend. Friday night, GCI is having an after hours at the depot from 4 to 6. And Reader's Choice, Frontiersman Best in the Valley, is going to be at the depot on the 31st of July from 6 till 10. And go ahead.
Could you repeat the salmon one?
On July 25th, I have. I think it's during the day. And Samatsu Basin Salmon Habitat Partnership. And so those are the things that I have. You have attached to my report the information that is the latest regarding the task force on the commuter rail, and has there the cost that we determined. As far as I know, we have not been able to, nobody on the task force has been able to locate the $4+ million that we need this year in order for this project to go forth. As far as I know, Bert hasn't found anybody with check writing abilities to that effect. So, any questions from my report? Comments? Okay. And Mike online, do you have a city attorney's report? Okay. Well, I don't hear anything, so I guess.
No, I'm here, Mayor. I had you on mute, and I had to get my phone back onto live speak.
Okay.
So, no, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't have a report for this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions of the attorney? Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike. The next item on our agenda is audience participation. Anyone in the audience can come forth and address the council. 3 minutes if you are representing yourself, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. And audience participation is now open.
Terry
That. It's been so long. Terry Snyder, I live in downtown Palmer. I think you all know that. Tonight I'm wearing my AARP Alaska State President's hat. And I know a few months ago I promised the mayor when the brand new editions of Where We Live were out, they are out, hot off the press. They even smell like it. There's not very many available. I got a very short number of them, but with the help of the clerk here, I think I brought you about 10 copies.
Okay, thank you. And as you know, that's where we saw the Golden Shovel Award, so hopefully we'll be able to glean a couple more ideas from
there. Yeah, so, you know, I can't be quizzed on this because I just got it too, and so I haven't read it, but I will, just thumbing through it. You talked earlier about housing. There's, I like the way the book is broken down this year, kind of in those eight domains of livability and how they're applied in different communities. Starting on page 10, there's quite a good little section in there about housing and some options. It's a very big deal outside. I think you probably saw that Anchorage passed an ADU ordinance. A couple of states have done it. So it's really at the forefront of discussions right now as this things that you're talking about with bed and breakfasts. But I think they're always full of really good ideas. And so I wanted to just deliver them today. I don't have anything else to tell you. And all of it is online. You actually can go online and order a copy. So if somebody you run across wants more copies, I hope to have more copies. They just went out so quick. That's it.
Great. Well, we appreciate you bringing them. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Anyone else in the audience who would like to come and address the council? Okay. With that, seeing no one else come forward, I'll close audience participation. The next item on our agenda is new business, resolution number 18-017, appropriating $25,000 from the general fund for the installation of a marked crosswalk at the intersection of East Arik Avenue and North and South Valley Way. Do you prefer a staff report, or do you want to go ahead and make a motion? What's the wishes of the council?
Staff report, Madam Mayor.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, sir, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So this is really a follow-up to discussions we've had over the time about a crossing on the old Glen Highway or East Arctic Avenue. That's a designated state highway, so it's controlled by Alaska DOT. Mr. Amundson was here to discuss that we could put a crosswalk in. He did get into the fine details of what that would take, other than DOT would be receptive to us asking. So when you work with the regional folks, there's two options. One is the expensive option, which would run us about $70,000 and include a full-blown traffic study. The other is the less expensive version, which is painting and it's not signaled, but not having a crosswalk button. If we have a crosswalk button where you push it, then you have to do the traffic study. If you just have flashing lights, which is our intent to have solar-powered flashing lights, then that was the version that didn't require a traffic study, which is this version. We still have to do a very small one, which we've contacted CRW. They've done these in the past. They gave us an initial estimate between that engineer piece and the purchase of the flashing lights and then a small contingency. We estimate it to be about $25,000. We don't have that appropriated, so this is a request to appropriate those funds so that we can move forward with finalizing with DOT their requirements so that we can actually put paint on the ground and have a crosswalk. And the crosswalk would go on the skateboard side of the Valley Way and the Old Glen, as opposed to the Yak side. If folks are crossing to get to downtown, we don't need to have them crossing twice. Just get over to the Shane Woods Trail. That was our intent. There's a sidewalk on both sides, so you would cross from sidewalk to sidewalk. And that was the intent of this tonight, is to allow us to move forward with funding for this. I don't know that anything would reach any single item would reach the threshold to come back to council. The engineering study was less than $5,000. The marking lights were upwards of 10 or 15. If they get over 15, then it requires council approval. My intent is if we can get a discount to buy two sets, let's plan ahead for next year, because we're going to have a similar issue on a city road. Once the state hands it over on Colony Way, the intersection will bring the reconstruction of the intersection at Colony and the New Glen will include a crosswalk on the opposite side of the tracks. Our city path is on the railroad side of the tracks, so a crosswalk at Geranium would make sense, much like the Arctic Avenue crossing. So if we can get a discount by two sets, and just go ahead and get a set for that. If we ask the state to do it now, we've got to go through this whole process. If we wait until we get the deed for that road, then we can do it ourselves. So our intent is to pre-position ourselves so that once we sign the deed for that property, for that road, once it becomes ours, we can do what we want, and we'll already have the materials ready for it. So that's, it includes a little bump for that as well.
Okay. Ready? What is the wishes of the council regarding resolution number 18-017?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve resolution 18-017. Discussion by the council, amendments, questions, any further questions? Councilman Carrington.
I just suggest maybe we consider an extra solar panel to maybe power our webcam or something.
If we can make it work, we'll try. We'd have to have some backup power for those solar panels in the winter. They assure us that they work well in cold weather, and they have them in northern environs. We're not sure they have them this far north, but potentially a small generator to run those if required in the winter. Maybe we can do something with the cameras, but we might be able to wire at least one of those lights, and if we can do that, then that might help us get to the skateboard park.
Further questions or comments from the council? Okay, and we'll need to do a roll call vote to determine what the wishes of the council is regarding the motion on the floor.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councilmember Pete LaFrance?
Yes.
Councilmember David Fuller?
Yes.
Councilmember Sabrina Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember Linda Combs?
Yes.
Councilmember Steve Carrington?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Richard Best?
Aye.
Mayor Edna DeVries?
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. And I'd like to back up to my report just briefly. I have a thank you card here from Karen regarding the proclamation and recognition we did to her for being an outstanding teacher for the month. And then I received a note from Anna Cartula thanking us regarding the planting of those or transplanting of those apple trees. And the one thing she does say here that they hope to hold a memorial service for her mom in 2019 at the trees, and she was just hoping that we can join them at that time. So they are here if anybody would like to read them. Okay, Madam Clerk, items placed on the table.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have four items placed on the table. There was an MEA project map, the Matsu bike map, Palmer signs design, the draft sign design, and the Where We Live magazine.
Okay. We will now open it up for a second time for audience participation. Anyone in the audience that would like to address the council on any item, whether it's on the agenda or not, 3 minutes if you're representing yourself, 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Okay, seeing no one come forth, audience participation is now closed. We will now have council member comments. And so I don't forget, Council Man Fuller, would you go first, sir, please?
Yes, ma'am. I'm not going to be there this weekend, but you got Garden Art Fair and the Wine Walk, just to remind everybody. It's supposed to be really fun. I'm sweating my butt off down here and not enjoying it. So everybody have fun this weekend.
Thank you, sir. Councilwoman Sabrina Combs, would you go next, please?
Yes. Thank you to Julie for coming in and speaking for MEA. And I'm not just saying that because she's my new boss. last week, I believe it was last weekend, the Scottish Highland Games came to Palmer, and other than the fair, it's hard to remember how many people being in Palmer has happened that often. It was amazing to see so many people out. And I was really impressed with having 5 candidates for the Planning and Zoning Commission. I hope that those folks try again. It looks like in October we'll have some seats open again. So a lot of really amazing people in our community. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Councilwoman Linda Combs, please.
Thank you.
especially because city manager has already warned you. Yes, already had a meeting with the other two wonderful, professionally great colleagues that we put on the Palmer Pride picnic each year. And we are going full bore. We have to remember that at that community picnic, one of the things that's important, at least in my opinion, is we have an opportunity to put out information to members of the community they might not have available to them any other place. So one of the things that I have worked on with the city manager and with my bag ladies at recycling is there will be a table that will be answering questions about the new ordinance for in January, giving ideas of what different folks can use. I've already had one business donate a couple of the bags that they're going to be starting to use in January to show examples. And I think that's great. I have another vendor that sought me out and is going to make sure that we have another thing that we haven't had for the last few years, and that's some games for the kids. So you'll hear from me again just before we have the community picnic about making sure you come on down and do that before you go to the baseball game. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problem with the baseball game. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. I just don't want my volunteers to disappear to go watch baseball before we clean the floor at the depot. So in the meantime, I would like to ask if there's been any further discussion about doing another pickup like we did for cleanup day. I've had a couple of my neighbors ask me. I also cut a bunch of limbs off of several of my trees this last weekend, so I'm curious for myself as well. So hopefully that idea hasn't gone completely off the trails, and if the city manager would talk with Mr. Knoll about that would be great. And last but not least, it's been a pleasure to work with our city clerk and the officials over at the borough. Once again, a lot of people just don't have the information. They don't realize what it does take for election officials. They don't even realize that that's an opportunity. A lot of folks are looking, I believe, in their hearts, if nothing else, to serve their communities. And this is a wonderful way to do it. Another example, as I'm talking to different groups and different people about the Election Day workers, is, and I would remind everybody, and will continue to do so, one of the most satisfying things I've ever done is I've had either a family member or a neighbor that is unable to get to the polls. And, I mean, they had planned on it, and something comes up, and they can't go. And to be able to offer to go and be their personal representative is a very small part and yet important part of the community service that you can do, you know, for that individual, to allow them to be able to exercise that right to vote. And it's something that's really easy to do. And I would urge everybody to kind of keep your eyes and ears open to see if that kind of situation occurs. The last time I did, I believe, was for my sister-in-law when she was going through chemotherapy, and she was fussing that she wouldn't be able to get to the polls. She was too weak. But she had no problem with, she said, in fact, she told me, take my picture, put it on Facebook, tell people if I can vote, anybody can. So let's all just keep working on that. I'll be, again, one more thing. Along with the city clerk about election workers and everything, I want to make sure that I publicly thank the chief of police, who, when I contacted him, there's some concerns amongst the seniors in our community about some of the rising crime rate waves, burglaries, maybe being accosted on the streets, that sort of thing. And I wasn't surprised, but I'm very pleased to say, as usual, snap to attitude. Tomorrow, the chief of police, anybody else he chooses to bring along with him, will be at the senior center at the membership meeting as well to just give a brief update. This is what we're here for, and this is what we can do for you, and let us answer your questions. It's very important, I think, to let our community know that that's exactly what they're there for. So, and the chief always does an awesome job of that. So thank you again, Chief.
Deputy Mayor Best.
Well, I just hope that everybody was able to enjoy the 5 days of summer that we have, that we had last week. It was pretty gorgeous out there. Again, was reminded with the conversation earlier before the meeting, please watch out for motorcycles out there, pedestrians, and bicyclists as well.
Thank you. Yes, Councilman.
Thank you. Couple things for me. I will be out of state for my brother's wedding for the next meeting, July 24th, so I respectfully ask to be excused from that meeting. Mm-hmm. In regards to the manager's question or statement regarding the Auclid paving and whether to pursue grants for that or do just a path, I guess my perspective would be as long as that project keeps moving, I'm okay with it. I don't want the promise of a grant to stymie that project for years. And so as long as forward progress is being made, I think it's a good idea to take a look at grants but not let us hold us back. What else do we got? We have a rail trail race. So if you haven't explored that rail trail in its fullest, there will be a race on it this coming Saturday. And I'd like to commend the manager for his work on the crosswalk across the Old Glen. I think that's a long time coming, and I think it's a nice pragmatic solution to a long-standing problem. So thank you for that.
Councilman Carrington.
When my wife moved down here from Fairbanks, the first few years she would keep getting lost. She'd go over to the western side of things and have trouble figuring out how to come back on the various streets. And after a couple of years, she finally figured out, oh, those are my mountains. And I noticed that the sign just it happens to match her mountains that she knows she's headed home. So I got to go show that to her tonight.
Okay. With nothing further to come before the council, the meeting is adjourned.